And before I begin, I'm just going to take this, and Ellie, I'm going to give this to you. And while I'm speaking, can you just make something nice for me? That'd be fantastic. Thank you. We'll check in with Ellie in a few minutes' time. And for these few weeks in January, we're in a talk series thinking about truth, what it is, where it comes from, why it matters, and how you and I can live truthfully. And if you're new to the idea of church like this or Christianity in general, can I say at this point how much I love that you are here this evening and willing to explore what Christianity has to say about life and truth. That is a courageous thing to do. And this is a series that we've put together particularly with people like you in mind. To put my own cards on the table up front this evening, over these next 2 weeks, I want us to see that Christianity uniquely has the resources we need in order to live in a way that is true to how wonderful reality is. Reality is wonderful. And Christianity uniquely has the resources we need in order to live in a way that matches it. Last week, we thought about what truth is and where it comes from. We saw that the answer is neither modern nor postmodern. Truth is not some sort of a sycophantic mirror, always reflecting you back to yourself, too cowardly ever to correct you. But neither is it a cold, hard algorithm, always just looking over your shoulder to the facts of the matter, apparently unaware of everything that we know to be genuinely most meaningful in this world. Truth is not like a mirror. It doesn't look like an algorithm. According to the Bible, truth looks like a person, Jesus Christ. His words make sense of reality and they hold us in their embrace. So we should take Jesus at his word, allowing what he says to confront us and resting the weight of our lives on what his word, the Bible, says. So this evening, we're going to do that. We're going to look at what it is that his word, the Bible, actually says about reality. And specifically, we're going to be looking at what the Bible says about why truth matters. I'm going to be making two observations and giving one comment. Two observations that I think everyone can or should be able to share, whether or not you'd call yourself a Christian, and one comment in between the two of them, a comment about how the Bible makes sense of these two observations. I'm going to be taking the imagery from the passage that Jenny kindly read for us, Isaiah chapters 28 and 29. It's worth saying I'm not going to be fully unpacking those chapters. I did that here a few years ago. Feel free to look up that sermon online. But these chapters are a reflection on the nature of reality. So instead of unpacking the words themselves, we're going to hold them up like glasses and use the imagery to look at the world around us, starting with the image at the end of chapter 28, there in verses 27 in particular, and verse 29. Look down and see what it says. Caraway is not threshed with a sledge, nor is the cartwheel rolled over cumin. Verse 29. All this comes from the Lord Almighty, whose plan is wonderful, whose wisdom is magnificent. So first observation, truth matters because reality has a wonderful shape. This may surprise some of you, but I do not know how to thresh cumin. Apparently this is a cumin plant, so I'm told. Apparently, at some point, seeds will develop in, I think, probably this bit of the plant, is my guess. And apparently, there is a way you can get those seeds out of this plant in a way that doesn't damage their flavor on the one hand, but on the other hand, doesn't lose those flavorsome seeds in just endless chaff. I know this is surprising, but I don't know how to do that. I'm actually not 100% sure this is a cumin plant. But I did spend a long time looking for one. I don't know what cumin plants look like. I don't know how to harvest cumin. But importantly, I do know that there is a way to harvest cumin. I know that there are right ways to do it and wrong ways to do it. And I know that if I don't do it the right way, then I will not have any cumin to cook with at the end of the day. There are different kinds of crop, and there are right and wrong ways to harvest them. There are different kinds of seeds, and there are right and wrong ways to plant them. There is a right and a wrong way to plow a field. There's a right and a wrong way to plant wheat. There's a right and a wrong way to thresh cumin. And what's true in a farmer's field is true in the wider world as well. There are right and wrong ways to live in reality, because reality has a shape to it. Reality has a wonderful shape to it, rich with fruits and grains and seeds and spices, each planted in their own place, growing according to their season and harvested in a way distinct to their own particular character. Reality is not some kind of spectrum of interchangeable grays over which humankind has sort of artificially placed an Excel spreadsheet in order to arbitrarily categorize things. Reality really does contain all kinds of different things and actions with qualitative distinctions between them. There is such a thing as cumin. I don't know if this is it, but there is such a thing. And cumin is qualitatively different to wheat, which is why you treat those two things differently. There is such a thing as a human baby, and that human baby is qualitatively different to a kitten or a pebble or a beetle, which is why you treat them differently. There's such a thing as a human woman and a human man, and they are qualitatively different, which is why you cannot and should not try to press one into the mold of the other, whether in the workplace or the operating theatre. There are true things that you can touch, and there are true things as well that you can't touch. There really is such a thing as justice and goodness and beauty. And those things are qualitatively different from corruption and envy and hate. Morality is not some kind of sliding scale of selfish grays. You cannot build beauty out of lust. You can't get to justice using greed as your raw material. You cannot make wisdom out of pride. Reality contains all kinds of truly and wonderfully different actions and things, darkness as well as light, bitter as well as sweet, happy as well as sad, good as well as evil. Different things with real distinctions between them that ought to affect how we speak and how we live. There's such a thing as cumin. There's such a thing as a baby. There's such a thing as a woman. And there is such a thing as injustice. And I don't think that those things should be controversial. They have become a bit controversial, haven't they, at times? It has become controversial to say that there are binary distinctions in this world, that there is male and female, or fact and opinion, or right and wrong. In a few minutes' time, we're going to think a little bit about how that's become controversial. But for now, all I want to put on the table is that reality really does have a shape to it. A rich and a colourful and a wonderful shape. A wonderful shape that should affect how we live and how we speak. So coming back to our title, truth matters because there is a right and a wrong way to live in reality. There is a way of living in reality that is true to what reality is, and there is a way of living in reality that is not true to what reality is. That's one of the things actually that is so beautiful about baptism. As Christians, we believe baptism is showing us the shape of reality. That if I can use a bit of jargon, that the only way to be washed clean in your soul is to be born again. That the only way to be born again is to die. And that the only way to die safely is to give your life to Jesus. The truth is, reality has a shape to it, a wonderful shape. And according to the Bible, it's a shape that God, our maker, has given to it, which is how the Bible makes sense of this first observation. Point one, reality has a wonderful shape that, point two, God has given to it. A little bit after talking about how there are right and wrong ways of threshing cumin, Isaiah moves from looking at the farmer's field to looking at the potter's wheel. He says in chapter 29, verse 16, which is just over the page at the bottom of the second page, page 714. He says, "You turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, 'You did not make me'? Can the pot say to the potter, 'You know nothing'?" What's the point Isaiah is making? Well, he's saying that God is the potter who has given reality its shape. God not only made the raw clay of reality, the raw material, he is the one who molded it to be exactly what it is, marking out the distinctions between each of its parts, shaping them for their own particular purposes and directing them towards what they should be in the future. Reality has a shape to it because God molded reality. He didn't just make the raw material, he gave it its shape. Reality has a shape because God molded reality and everything within reality to be what it is and what it's for. When Isaiah looks at the world around him, he sees a world of colors and of kinds and of varieties and spices. And he says, "You're seeing something with shape to it because you're seeing something that has been given shape. You're seeing something with color to it because you're seeing something that has been given color. You're seeing something with parts and pieces and kinds and distinctions because you're seeing something that has been carefully put together for a particular purpose. Like clay on a potter's wheel, the shape of reality has God's fingerprints all over it." So coming back to our title, why does truth matter? Truth matters because reality isn't just a grey lump of clay. It has a wonderful shape, which brings me back to Ellie. Ellie, how are you getting on? We're struggling, which is fine. Let's see how we're doing. Let's give me whatever you've got. It's beautiful, thanks. Ellie. It's fantastic. I mean, look, it's better than I could have done, which is not saying a huge amount. This is what Ellie's made for us. Let's give Ellie a round of applause. If I'd thought to bring some flowers, we could have put some flowers in it. Truth matters because reality isn't just a grey lump of clay. It has shape to it. So if you look at reality and all you can see is a grey lump of clay, well, Isaiah thinks you're not looking at the world properly. You'll be like someone looking at a beautifully sculpted jug and saying, "Well, it's all just clay, so I can kind of just squash this." I'm sorry, Ellie. I actually have felt bad about that all day. You'll be like someone who looks at it and says, "It's all just clay, so I can squash it, and actually I can tear this bit off here and I can rearrange it into maybe kind of a plate or actually just a mess." I'm going to put that back down there. Isaiah says, well, you may be able to do that to an extent, but you will not be living in a way that is true to what was in front of you, or in a way that does right by the person who sculpted it. Because reality is not just lumps of raw material. It's material that has been deliberately and carefully given a shape. But I think this does get back to why it's become a bit controversial to say that there are real binary distinctions in this world. As a culture, we've started to treat reality like the only thing that's true about it is what it's made out of, and not the shape that it's been given, or the purpose for which it was made. And if the only thing that's true about reality is the material it's made out of, well, then I'm free to reshape it however my heart desires. As a culture, I think we've become basically hardened materialists, focusing exclusively on the raw materials of reality and ignoring all of its shape and all of its purpose. And whichever way you vote, that has had massive political and moral consequences. Our culture looks at reality and says, if I want to, I can make a man look like a woman or make an act of war sound like an act of self-defense. If I want to, I can make taking the life of vulnerable people look like compassion, or recently in the news, put a photo of a smiling woman into a bikini. Make selfishness sound like self-care. If I just push some things around, I can rearrange reality to be a bit more like how I wanted it to look. Because reality may look like a jug right now, but it's really just a grey lump of clay. Can I say, if you are suspicious of the idea that reality is just a grey lump of clay for us to do whatever we want with, that would be such a good reason to explore Christianity. If you're suspicious of materialism, whether it's the more right-wing consumerist materialism that will reshape reality into whatever can be most profitably bought and sold and possessed, or the more left-wing sort of Marxist materialism that rejects the idea of a natural shape to reality as fundamentally unequal, unjust, and oppressive. If you're suspicious of materialism in any of its varieties, that would be a wonderful reason to look into Christianity. Because against the hardened materialist idea that reality is just a lump of raw clay, the Bible says, do you know reality has a wonderful shape to it and a beautiful purpose? A wonderful shape and a beautiful purpose, and it's got God's fingerprints all over it. Truth matters because reality has a wonderful shape, point one, given to it by God, point two, and that is why, point three, lies have consequences. Okay, let's leave the clay for now and come back to the farm, because the cumin and the caraway haven't finished teaching us what they have to say. There are different kinds of seeds, and there are right and wrong ways to plant them. There are different kinds of crop, and there are right and wrong ways to harvest them. There is a right and a wrong way to plant wheat and to thresh cumin. And if you don't thresh cumin rightly, your curry will taste bland. If you don't plant your wheat in a way that is true to what it is, well, eventually you will run out of bread. There is a right and a wrong way to farm. And if you don't farm rightly, there are consequences of that. Your crops will die. Eventually, so will you and quite a lot of other people. There is a right and a wrong way to farm crops, and there is a right and a wrong way to live in reality. And if you don't live in a way that is true to reality, well, there are consequences of that. It could take a day or a season or longer. But when you live a lie, eventually you do reap the results. Bland curries, empty bread bins, or worse. According to the Bible, that is how God has deliberately ordered reality. You can live in a way that is true to reality, or you can die while clinging to your own lies. There are consequences of living and speaking in a way that lies about reality, because God will not let lies live forever. And in these chapters, Isaiah just piles up the imagery for what living a lie is like. It's like just endlessly pummeling cumin. It's like squashing a clay pot. It's like trying to sleep under a blanket that is too small for you. It's like entering into a deal with death. Over and over again, the same basic point. If you live a lie, you will reap the consequences. And it'll be easy at this point to really go to town on the consequences of living a lie. As I said, I'm a foster carer, so I have seen firsthand the painful fruit that grows when people don't live truthfully. Whether it's adults who lock their children up in a web of half-truths, or bureaucracies that falsely treat children as interchangeable, or teenagers from whom you just can never get a straight answer. But I doubt you need me to tell you how grim it can be to live around lies and people who clothe themselves in them. If you've never experienced it, I hope you can imagine it. None of us like being lied to, and all of us will have seen some of the consequences of people who use lies to doctor reality, like pummeling cumin, squashing a clay pot, sleeping under a blanket that's too small for you, or entering into a deal with death. You can squash reality for a while, maybe. But God will not let those lies live forever. Reality has a wonderful shape given to it by God, and he has guaranteed one day every lie will die. Farmers who live a lie lose their crops. Chefs who live a lie cook up bland meals. And people who live lies, they are cutting against the grain of reality, blunting their own sense of judgment and killing what's in front of them. I wonder, does your life ever feel a bit like that? Or any of those images? Like you're pummeling cumin, desperately trying to get the taste out? Like you've squashed reality and you just can't seem to get the shape back? Like you're tossing and turning under a blanket that just will not cover you? Or even like you've entered into a deal with a wicked power that wants you dead. If your life ever feels like any of those images, can I say again, that would be a wonderful reason to explore Christianity. If you ever feel like modern life is built on a foundation of lies, or even your own life is completely built out of lies or clothed in them, that would be such a great reason to start taking the Bible seriously. Because the Bible claims to be God's true word about how to live truthfully in his world. And it's such good news. Next week, we're going to spend all of our time thinking about what it means to live in a way that is true to reality. But for now, here's the good news I want to leave you with. Friends, the real world is so much more beautiful than any of the lies we tell about it. There is so much more that is true about reality than just the raw materials that it's made out of. Reality is so much more than just a grey lump of clay. It has meaning and purpose and colour and shape. Truth matters because reality is so much more wonderful than any of the lies we tell ourselves about it. So if Christianity is new to you, here is the invitation for this evening. I want to invite you to step into a world of colour. A world of spices and shapes, pregnant with meaning and spun together with significance. The modern world has stripped reality of meaning and squashed its purpose and left us with nothing but grey lumps of clay, but it is a lie. The truth is, you have a purpose that is as real and true as the chemical makeup of your blood. Every single person and every single thing that you have ever seen or touched or held has a divine significance spoken into it that is as real as the law of gravity. Reality has a shape and it is covered with God's fingerprints, which means reality is enchanted with his ideas and woven together with his thoughts. Before anything was true about you, his plan for you was true. Before anything about you was written into your DNA or up on the internet or on Instagram, everything about you, everything you were made to be, everything good and wonderful about you was dreamt up by God and knitted into his purposes and held in his heart. Friends, there is so much more that is true than just what you're made out of. When the modern world pulls back the curtains on reality, all it sees is grey lumps of clay. But in the Bible, when the final curtain is pulled back on reality, do you know what it says is there? It says there are angels and nations surrounding God's throne, and they are singing, which is what we're going to do next. So as the band comes up, let me lead us in a final prayer. Lord God, reality has a wonderful shape to it, so much better than anything that we try to lie about, any of the lies that we tell about it. And it has that wonderful shape because it was given to it by you. We praise you that there is so much more that is true about us than just what we're made out of. And we pray that this week, Lord God, you would cause us to rejoice and wonder in the wonder of the reality that you have made. We praise you that you are our maker, and we come before you in song now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.